Welcome to Fantasy Island.
Welcome. Hello, everybody.
What's Fantasy Island? Is that the name of the thing?
No, I remember there was a show called Fantasy Island where people lived on an island and did stuff, and that is perfect for the episode of this show. Hello, everyone. Welcome to It's a Wonderful Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Nolan Dean. As always, with me is my beautiful bearded friend from Manchester, Morgan Robinson. And today, we are going to be talking about, guess what, guys? Another book adaptation.
Another book adaptation, because Nolan only chooses book adaptations. Although, last week we did do Captain Blood, which was a book adaptation, despite the fact that I had no idea it was a book adaptation.
That was a book adaptation.
It is, actually, which is weird. I didn't choose it, obviously, for that reason. You always choose book adaptations. But yes, hello everyone. As Nolan said, I am Morgan Robinson, as you all know, probably. Lord of the Flies is what you've chosen for some goddamn reason. Nolan, why?
Because Lord of the Flies is a wonderful piece of literature
that I'm sure every book snob has read. Do you really think that, though? Do you really think that?
I think it's an interesting book. It's not like one I sit down on a beach and read
to
entertain myself. But it's definitely something that I think should be required reading for all kids.
Okay. Did you want to talk about the book or the film? Because this is a film. We have watched the film from 1963?
Yeah, well, I can talk about both because the 1963 film is very accurate to the book. Like, almost, like,
oh,
completely.
Yeah, yeah. This is actually one of the rare book adaptations we have done where I have actually read the book because I was required to read the book in high school.
See? West Norton Primary School or high school or whatever is doing good stuff.
Did Yes, it did. Yes, it did. I don't remember particularly loving the book, particularly the ending of the book, which I'm sure you. I don't know if you. It's kind of a famously weird or controversial ending. To such a story.
Well, we should just tell people what Lord of the Flies is about. It's not about a bunch of people trying to find a ring that somehow looks like a housefly. It's about a group of British schoolboys who all get stranded on an island and basically create their own world. And then that goes about as well as you'd think it would from British schoolboys.
Goes horrendously. Horrendously to the point of murder.
Yeah, it's quite dark.
Yay! It's very dark.
I think I may be reaching for this, but I would say Lord of the Flies is a very influential and must be required for anyone looking to do a survival movie.
I mean, okay, that's fair, because, you know, you look at survival movies and, you know, it's often some guy on a beach trying to come to terms with this weird new life. And that is very much what Lord of the Flies is. What Lord of the Flies does do, in fairness to it, is show how frail society is, because it just puts all these young schoolboys on this island and just says, yep, live. And for a while, it's like, okay, there's a bit of back and forth, there's a bit of democracy going on, there's a bit of, you know, fairness going on, right up to the point of rebellion. Mm-hmm. And then we get to what is essentially a war.
Yeah, and I find it kind of hilarious that the villain of this movie is a choir boy.
It is funny. It really... When the scene when Jack and his choir boys are just walking up the beach, it's just like, well, of course, look at them. Of course they're evil.
That's funny, though, because, like, the choir boy, usually that's a trope where... That's a character who'd be made fun of. I don't expect them to be like the main antagonist. Although maybe that's why they become the main antagonist, because they've been made fun of so much.
Perhaps the author, William Golding, is that his name?
I believe so.
Had some sort of problem with the church, so wanted to make the villain a church-loving choir boy. I don't know.
That's,
to be fair, Jack...
I wouldn't put it past them to do that.
Jack is definitely the most upper-class British person in the entire movie.
Oh,
geez. Or the entire story.
He makes Draco Malfoy look like a chaff.
He does. It's ridiculous. The actual sort of... the protagonist for, you know, Ralph... he's a likeable enough person. He's a perfectly seemingly normal human being. And Jack's just this next level. I don't know. It's kind of strange to me that it could be interpreted that William Golding had some sort of agenda against maybe organized society itself, because he does. That's the point of his story, to show how frail it can be and how, given difficult circumstances, it's so easy to turn to savagery.
Yeah, and like when you're put in difficult situations, it plays out like a kid's fantasy in a way. Yeah. Like they're putting on paint and pretending that they're hunters and everything, and like, you know, you remember times when you were that age playing those kind of games with your friends.
Did you go out hunting?
I did not, no.
I
was the resident cops and robbers champion of my neighbourhood.
I see. How do you become a champ? How does one become a champion at the game of cops and robbers?
You catch all the robbers. Like, yes, I was like fucking Miami Vice, like 21 Jump Street kind of guy.
So what you're telling me is that really you should be a policeman right now.
Not really, but
you should be a police
officer.
You should be working for the police.
No, but I do always enjoy like cop shows, like
power,
or buddy cop stuff. I think police things are really fun.
I think you just like the idea of having power over someone. I think that's where all this comes from.
No, I was definitely a good cop. I was just really good at catching them.
Right, yeah.
Well, mind you, a lot of my friends in my neighborhood were not good at creating hiding spaces.
So cops and robbers is basically, to you, over elaborate hide and seek?
More or less, yeah.
Just play hide and seek, it's much more simple.
Yeah, what was your, that's what was not your, fun.
What was your best ever hide and seek hiding place?
Well, I don't know if this is because they just didn't want to find me, but it was at the top of a school building.
Oh, we give up. We just leave him.
Yeah, I climbed to the top of a school.
That's impressive. That's way better than mine. I thought mine was good. I once hid on the top shelf of a wardrobe.
That is impressive and also dangerous.
It is. It was dangerous, but you know, I lasted hours.
Yeah, I climbed to the top of a big primary school and I think
got arrested.
No, I think they forgot to come and find me or didn't know where I was, and I had trouble getting down. I was also very frightened of heights.
How do you get on the top of a school? That's my question.
With a lot of luck, a lot of quick
jumps,
a lot of finding your footing quite well, but going down was the problem.
Did they have to get a ladder?
No, I made it pretty safely.
You made it
safely.
Down without any
without
authority
a anything,
coming.
But it was just terrifying. Like, yeah, I thought I was sure going to fall off.
A pretty impressive hide-and-seek place, to be fair. But we're not here to talk about children's games.
No.
We're here to talk about children becoming murderous savages. You remember Savage is the horrendously racist song from Pocahontas?
I haven't seen Pocahontas, and I don't really think I want to see Pocahontas.
And just imagine a bunch of white men shouting the word savages at Native Americans.
I could just walk outside then.
At Native American? There's no Native Americans here.
No, but hence I could definitely see a lot of angry white guys shouting savage for no reason.
Fair enough.
Usually after a football game.
I mean, people at football games are savage. So are they shouting savage at one another? Or are they shouting at very annoying football pundit Robbie Savage?
Possibly.
Quite possibly they are shouting at Robbie Savage. Apologies for those who have no idea what on earth we're talking about now. Let's get back onto Lord of the Flies. Why? What is it then? You say it is, or you say you think it is required reading for, you know, teenagers, children.
Yeah.
Why is that? Why do you think that?
Because, I don't know, I've always been drawn to stories where kids are put into very realistic situations and then seeing what they can do in that situation. I just find that dynamic interesting. And this, I love it when they have stories with kids, so it's relatable, but they don't treat the kids like they're idiots, like they can't handle this kind of stuff. Like, there's a lot of thought-provoking material in the book that I was kind of scared of when I first read it. And then watching the movie, it's like, holy shit, you wonder if this kind of thing actually could happen, because especially with the way the movie presents it, like opening with photos instead of like a title sequence, it gives it almost like a documentary feel. And the fact that they didn't pick like, you know, I don't know, who's a child actor from the 60s?
I must admit, I was watching this. I was not impressed by the acting in this movie.
You know why that is?
At all.
It was a bunch of random school kids who didn't get a script. They were just told what the scene was about, and then they improvised.
I mean, it comes across, though. I don't think it works, though.
I think it's meant to be authentic, but it does sound a bit monotone.
It's horrendous. I was thinking to myself, they should get the guy from The Innocents.
Yeah, they were good child actors.
He'd have been great in this, rather than Piggy, whose lines all sound the exact same, regardless of what emotion he's trying to convey. And when I read the book, I remember Piggy being an incredibly sympathetic character, a really tragic character, and obviously that does come across in this, but the acting, it just lessens that so, so much for me. Because he was just, I'm sorry, whatever his name is, but
he's probably dead now.
It wasn't great. It was not great.
That's just my little,
it's not a huge deal because, you know, I never like judging people's acting because I probably wouldn't be able to do it myself. And obviously this story is way more than performances. It's all centers on the actual themes of it. So it doesn't, you know, make or break the movie, but it is, for me, I think something that needs to be brought up as something, yeah, like you said, if they were all schoolboys, maybe they were trying to do an authentic thing, but for me, I can't say it pulled off.
Yeah, but the theme is really where this shines, because I think ultimately what The Lord of the Flies is about, it's about letting your imagination run away with you and the dangers and the positive sides of that. And you get that a lot with this one little segment where they think there's some kind of beast on the island.
Yeah.
They don't see this beast. They just like describe it. And you can tell it's kind of like when you're in English class and your teacher tells you to design a monster. You just come up with the most outrageous shit ever.
I don't recall that ever happening.
You never did that in primary school?
I don't recall designing a monster. What I do recall in an English class is designing a theme park.
That's kind of dull.
In an English class. It was cool. I enjoyed that. It was the best English... It wasn't the best English class. It was the weirdest English class.
I bet if you did that now, you would definitely do like a House on Haunted Hill theme park.
If you gave me creative reign over a theme park, you would have the best looking theme park. It might not work very well, but it'd look great.
Oh, no, we were told to design monsters in year 5 primary school.
Did you design the beast from Lord of the Flies?
I went way overboard with the monster design, like giving him... He was massive, he had a tail that could spit fire, a tongue that was like made of electricity and shit. You know, but I kind of... My creativity wasn't honed then. It was just kind of like everywhere.
I mean, you could pass it off as creative, but also... nonsense.
There's a fine line.
You crossed to the line long ago.
Yeah, and I think there's something to be said about where this monster storyline goes. They do find it, but it's just a dead parachuter.
It is a dead parachuter. Is parachute the right term?
I don't know. I think he was a pilot.
Let's call it paratrooper.
Paratrooper, yeah. You just see this corpse and this helmet that kind of looks like its dead eyes, and they freak out.
It's quite funny.
But, like...
He's just a dead guy. Calm down, Simon, or whoever it is that finds him.
I don't know, I just think... There's something that could be said about, you know, what they imagine this thing would look like in their head, and then when they see it, and it's just something so simple, but they're still terrified, like... Is that trying to say they're terrified of simplicity, or like they're just scared regardless? It's interesting to think about.
I would say they are scared regardless. They are scared of the whole situation. The fact that they are able to last as long as they do in some sort of democratic makeshift society. I don't... Now, you could... This is another thing, because you could see that as just like, ooh, English people being English. It's just like, let's all be nice and sit down and talk to each other and not cause a argument. Because, you know, you could see it as that, or you could, you know, see it as, you know, they are scared. They are just looking and seeing the basic things that they know from back home of what adults do. And trying to copy that. And then, you know, because whether you class it as children being immature or boys wanting to be alpha males, Jack goes and does his rebellion thing. And acts, you know, as the big tough guy and causes all the savagery.
He really doesn't look tough at all. You could push him over with a twig.
He doesn't, but he's got that typical "I'm way better than you" attitude.
Which, if he existed nowadays, he'd be that kid who always has new trainers every week.
I mean, you don't need that many shoes.
You do not.
You don't need that many shoes, Jack. Stop buying shoes. He doesn't even wear shoes.
No, he doesn't.
He doesn't even wear clothes.
I was questioning, like, how they managed to cook the pigs like that.
Over a fire?
Yeah, like, they didn't even disembowel it or anything. They're just grabbing it. Like, you guys are going to give yourself food poisoning.
I don't think they know the concept of food poisoning. When they are shouting, kill the pig, spill its blood, bash it in.
Yeah, and I was always curious what the Lord of the Flies thing actually meant when I first read it, and... Turns out it's just like a severed pig's head that has flies around it.
It's a rotting pig's head. Now, what do you think that symbolizes? Let's get really nice and analytical. What on earth does a rotting pig's head, the Lord of the Flies, the title of the book and the film and the story, what does it mean, Nolan? What does it all mean?
I think it's like... you know, it kind of goes to the whole society thing. Like, you can build something up and it might seem great at first. Like, oh, you've got a pig's head. You can display that as a trophy. But over time, it will deteriorate.
And who is the Lord of the Flies?
I just think it's these kids in general.
Who is the Lord of the Rings?
I don't... Oh, God.
Sauron is the Lord of the Rings.
You know I prefer Potter to Lord of the Rings. I don't know.
You still should know Lord of the Rings. Anyway, I'm going to talk about Lord of the Rings. Yeah, I quite like that.
I can bring something to that. This is not from this Lord of the Flies, but Sean Astin was in the 1990 version of Lord of the Flies.
Was he really?
Yeah, and that movie's not good. It's terrible. But he was. He came to Comic. No, he was. I don't even think he was in Lord of the Flies. He is in Lord of the Rings. Where am I going with this?
He was in Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, he came to Comic-Con, and my girlfriend at the time wanted to ask him a question. And she said, how are you in Lord of the Flies? And she meant to say Lord of the Rings.
Right. And so, right. Okay. Is that all cleared up now?
Yeah.
Is this story somewhat cleared up now?
Yeah, it's funny.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's an unfortunate mistake.
He was quite charming about it. Just like how Sean Astin is.
I wasn't in Lord of the Flies.
But it got me confused. Sure? Like, was he in Lord of the Flies or not?
I don't know. You confused because you were confused at the start of that story. Whether he was in Lord of the Flies or not. I don't know anymore.
No. But I do like your
reading into the actual pig's head, the Lord of the Flies, as another representation of this crumbling, rotting society that they may have created that seemed all nice and dreamy at first. Because they do, they say as much, oh, this is nice, look, an island, oh, look, it's got all this nice fruit, there's no nasty animals, we're going to be great here. Oh, no, wait, we're going to die. I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that reading.
Yeah, that's me always bringing the analytics in, pulling them straight out of my ass.
Hey, that's what everybody does. So how do you think anything ever gets thought?
That's
it's
true.
Just like, way, random idea, here you go. Actually, that works.
But you brought it. Piggy up, and
I did bring Piggy up.
I know, I agree with you. I think he's way more sympathetic and way more complex in the book.
Yeah.
In this, he's kind of just the overweight kid that gets picked on.
I feel so sorry.
He has asthma.
I can't get over the dude's acting. I'm sorry. I really can't. I like the character of Piggy because he is the perfect sort of let's try and do the right thing. But he's never gonna get listened to because everybody, the likes of Jack,
the alpha males
think they are way better than him, and he has way more, reasonable things to say than practically anyone else. Arguably,
the most horrifying part of this movie is Piggy's death scene.
Oh God, yeah. I mean, that was. It's the main thing in the book that turns the book fully into nastiness, and the same here. It is. It's a really nasty death as well.
I mean, the way they film it, like, you don't see a lot of stuff, but it's just the impliedness of it.
You don't want to get smacked by a rolling boulder.
No, because like if that actually happened, his head would have looked like a crushed meatball.
It's awful. It's brutal, to be honest. And obviously they don't show anything.
But even the death that preceded that was quite horrifying.
Oh yeah, is that's Simon, isn't it?
Yeah, he went to go find what the beast was. He came running, and then all these savage kids think he's the beast and just stab him with pointy sticks.
It's that's nasty.
Imagine how scary that would be for a kid.
I say that Piggy's death is the sort of turning point as to where they turn properly savage. Simon's death is arguably worse because they just have no. They don't see him as, like, someone they have spoke to previously, another human being. He's just like, at that point, they just kill, kill, kill. And they swarm him and stab him with pointy sticks.
Yeah.
And
Sticks and stones won't break his bones.
Sticks and stones definitely won't break his bones. Where has that come from?
I don't know. I just
sticks and stones will break his bones. He's dead.
They didn't break his bones, technically. They just stabbed him.
They may have broke his bones. You don't know.
Quite possibly. We can't exactly ask him, can we?
You weren't there.
No. But, like, you know, the death of kids is usually seen as, like, a big turning point in most movies. Like, you know, you think of, like, Alex Kintner and Jaws, that kind of stuff. Like, how shocking it is. But having a movie made up of just purely kids and still having it, I think somehow made it worse. Because you always view kids as being somewhat innocent. And William Golding wrote a story where it was like, no, these kids, if given this kind of situation, they could turn into as evil, if not more so, because they don't have the emotional maturity for it, worse than adults.
Definitely. I mean, I believe this story came out of William Golding's time in World War II. And
that would make sense.
Obviously, if he's involved in World War II, he witnesses society going very evil indeed. I believe that is what maybe not necessarily inspired the story, but was a thing he had in the back of his mind when he was writing it.
You can definitely
anybody can turn evil given difficult circumstances, as just this commentary on society at that particular time. But I like how you very much seem to see it as a you read into the child aspect of it, whereas I kind of focus more on the male aspect of it, the fact that they are all male.
Oh yeah, it's definitely like I've got bigger balls than you kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean,
toxic masculinity, all that stuff.
Again, you look at the time the book was written, even the time the film came out. Men are in places of power. World War II, very evil men in certain circumstances are in places of power. I'd like to know what William Golding would have done had he had, you know, women in there as well.
Well, you might get to find that out, actually, because I believe there is an all-female remake of this movie in the works.
But I don't know how
that's going to work.
It's kind of not the same thing.
No, I think I generally believe if it was like young girls running this thing, that place would be like a paradise.
Look,
they would know how to deal with their stuff.
Like, a male story and a female story are way different. They just are in any sort of film. You look at coming of age films and stuff like that. The male story is way different to the female story. Lord of the Flies is about a group of purely boys. They're all like 8 years old to 14 or something like that. And yeah, they are just trying. They are copying what they have seen adults do and what they have seen adults do having grown up in wartime is fight each other eventually. Try and figure things out by talking, yeah, sure. But it comes to fighting, which is kind of a sad realization. But, you know, you can't say that the story doesn't, or you can't say that the story isn't successful in portraying this idea, because it does do it really well, although I do have some, you know, nitpicks about the ending, which we will get onto. But yep.
Like, I genuinely believe that if this was all like young girls, then the story would be massively different. It wouldn't be nearly as dark. They probably would figure out a way to make everyone happy on that island. I don't see it being the same kind of thing.
Obviously, I can't say I'm not a, you know, I'm not a woman. I don't know.
Who knows?
Women know. No.
I'd be curious to see a female take on it, but I don't think it would be the same story.
Oh, not at all. It'd be completely different. Completely, completely, completely different. And yet, to be perfectly honest, it'd probably all go very nicely.
Most likely, yeah.
But it might not be.
It might not. Who knows?
It might very well not be. Who knows? Who knows what other people think? I don't. I cannot. I only know what I think, and you only know what you think.
Yeah, and since I guess the ending's kind of the thing that I don't really know what to make of it.
It does feel, I must admit, I think the ending is pulled off better in this film than it was in the book.
Do tell.
When I did read the book in high school, I found the ending to be wildly anticlimactic. I'm talking, you've had all this, it's gone all savage, and I want to see them either figure this out, and like after the death of Piggy, I want to see a serious sort of, right, let's realise now just how far we've gone and try and live on together, Jack and, you know, Jack's tribe, quote unquote, and Ralph's, you know, people. Let's just try and take the people we have left and just live. This has gone way too far. Now, that's one way that I'd like to see it end. Another way is just the depressing let's all kill each other way. To really delve into this people turn utterly savage, or you know, how, you know, people can always turn utterly savage under the wrong circumstances. So I would either like to see all nice but still, well, not all nice, but trying again, just to give us that bit of hope, living on the island, which I think is a better ending than my everybody kills each other ending as well. But what does happen is, oh, look, the Navy turns up, they get saved. Where's that come from? And I get that it's supposed to be like this whole, it's not supposed to be an important part, really. It's just a thing that happens to be at the end. And yeah, okay, it does end with them realizing what evil they have done, and that they, you know, the boys, that they will have to, you know, live with this for the rest of their lives. We're led to believe they go back home and all that business. But why does it end like that? I don't like that it ends like that, because I don't think that's an ending.
Yeah, it's kind of more of an afterthought.
It's, if it had ended with Piggy's death, fine, do that. Perfect. But you're like, you're having them, you're going halfway with it. You're having them realise the evilness, but then you're just having them be able to get out there. No, if they've realised the evilness, I want them to actually work on it, rather than just be saved. Oh, yay, it's all nice again. No, I'm not about that.
Whereas in the movie, it's really different, because you kind of see, just in these characters' faces, like, holy shit, what have we done?
Exactly.
And, like, it's movie, almost like PTSD.
Exactly. In the movie, that is played out, I think, much better. I still don't think it's a good ending. But I think because the music is really intense at this point as well, following on from Piggy's death, and then, you know, Ralph's running, and then he just crashes into the Navy officer, and the music cuts out, and doesn't come on again for the rest of the film.
Would you have liked to have seen a final fight between Jack and Ralph?
No.
Like, you don't want that cliche ending, like, oh, you've gone too far, now I'm going to kill you sort of thing.
No, unless it ends in everybody, you know, everybody dies and the place burns to the ground. you know, like some things do end like that. But yeah, like Nolan said, the shots of the close-up faces of the boys realizing what they've done is much more effective as a film than it was in my head reading it as a book. So I think it does work better like that, but I still don't really care for the ending.
Yeah, I this is one of the rare instances that I'll agree that the movie improved on the book's ending.
It's the same ending, though.
It's just, it's actually,
you just think
better.
The way it's done, yeah.
Yeah. You feel like they're going to have PTSD from this shit.
You
do. And why wouldn't they? Because, Jesus.
Absolutely they should. Absolutely they should. I don't know what are some other
standout elements. Jack never went to choir again.
Jack would never go to choir again. Jack would end up in prison.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Unless nobody told on him because they were all too terrified, which is, again, is probably what happened. But I don't want to think about what happens after the end of Lord of the Flies.
Jack probably would have grown up to been like we watched it in Manchester. He would have grown up to be Anthony Michael Hall and Edward Scissorhands. It's just some dick.
Would he have been nasty afterwards, though? And now probably. I am thinking about it. Do you think he would have still been nasty afterwards?
I think so.
Do you think he was just inherently a bad person?
Not inherently a bad person. I think he came from a, like, you mentioned how William Golden could have done it as a criticism of the whole organized, like, group thing.
Yeah.
I think Jack's kind of, like, a result of that.
Jack is definitely a result
of that. And it's been built into him, so I don't think he would change. Unless, like, he went to severe, severe therapy.
But what if, you know, that's... What if you could change? I mean, if, you know, this is a story that says that supposedly a bunch of proper, good, you know, good-hearted English boys can turn, like, into savage animals. So why can't it happen the other way round?
Because I think Jack was pretty bad even from the beginning.
He was, but at least he had, you know, he had an idea of order. He enjoyed rules.
Yeah, and I don't think having true power corrupts the mind. I think it just shows who that person really is.
Okay. Okay. And I mean, I don't like to think of it that you couldn't come back. Because I think you could come back. And I mean, like that, you said, maybe Jack was just nasty anyway.
I can't imagine Jack's nasty anyway, breakfast nasty anyway. With his parents the next morning like, oh, I dropped a boulder on a kid's head.
No, I suppose that's a fair point.
Like, that's going to haunt all those kids for the rest of their lives, and I doubt many of them are going to come out on the positive side. Maybe a few. Maybe
oh,
Ralph.
I mean, maybe Ralph. Ralph is the protagonist. Ralph is the most. But Ralph's going to have PTSD too.
Oh, yeah.
Because he'd form bonds with people that have been murdered. And he's like.
And that's
11.
Kind of like soldiers returning from war in a way, like losing their friends.
Soldiers returning war. Again, we come back to World War II. And the reason for this book's existence, which is that war.
And that's the tragedy of war. You lose people. You sometimes needlessly.
You lose
most
people
of the time,
and sometimes
needlessly.
You lose, and you can lose yourself.
Yep.
You lose yourself, and that again, that this.
This is not a happy story.
It's not a happy story at all. It's a depressing story. But
is it more or less depressing than Watership Down?
I mean. Do you know, it's along similar lines of Watership Down. I think Watership Down is more depressing because it's got way more hope in it.
That just gets ripped away.
Rather than this, that's just like... From the first minute, you're like, I'm sorry, this isn't going to end well. And it, rightly so, it doesn't. And yeah, it's still effective. But no, I think I'm safe in saying that Watership Down is more depressing than Lord of the Flies.
It's kind of, I've always found the message of Lord of the Flies also a bit cynical.
Okay, like, explain. Elaborate.
I don't feel like William Golding liked children very much.
Please elaborate. I like this.
Well, they sometimes use it as an experiment. Like, I'm thinking of stuff like the Stanford Prison Experiment and things like that, whereas if you put a group of people, like, by themselves and just let them be, what do they do? The fact that he portrays it as it definitely goes into savagery, I mean, I find that a little bit cynical.
But, I mean, I suppose you've got to look at it from the point that he lived through the wars.
Yeah,
and knew what, you know, all he had known was people ending up evil and it turning to violence.
Yeah, I don't think it's a bad thing. It's just, it's not really something that I would find myself reading if I had other options.
No, I mean, it's not a nice view of the world to have.
No, but it's a very layered and complex one.
It's a very sort of understandable and reasonable view to have given the time period, so I can't fault that.
Could have been like, because I know I write for this reason, like maybe that was sort of his way of healing himself, like even having the Navy guy dressed in all white and having that maybe represent like an angel or something, like coming to save them.
It is, I didn't even think about that until you've just said that he's kind of angelic, isn't it?
Yeah.
Maybe it is. Maybe there's weird religion in here.
And there's nothing more, I don't think there's anything more like heartbreakingly innocent than seeing a child cry. Like when that happens in a story, like it always gets to me.
I mean, seeing anyone cry isn't nice. You kind of expect children to cry.
Yeah, I know, but it's like,
seeing an old person cry gets me way more.
Yeah, and it's just sort of like, but for me, like, seeing a child cry, it's like, well, what do you say to them? Because they have a sort of, they'll have less of a complex worldview than an adult does.
But children cry all the time.
Yeah, but usually not after they just had, well, you don't meet a lot of children who just had their friends murdered.
Oh, right, yeah, in the context of this story, yeah, I just thought you meant in general.
No, not in general. Thought, kids cry all the time. Yeah. My little cousin cries when she doesn't get the sweets she wants.
That's why I'm saying, like, it's much more sad to see an old person cry, because you don't expect that. But you expect children to cry, because that's what children do.
Yeah, no, but you know, given the context of the story, it takes on new meaning, because they treat the children like adults in this.
That is very true. That is a very good point. That is a very, very, very good point. I like that.
With that being the final shot, like seeing all these kids who we've just seen go through hell just come out sort of crying, like they kind of just want sheltered. That kind of stuff gets to me.
There's the one kid who couldn't even speak.
Yeah, he just gets his hair ruffled.
He gets his hair ruffled by the angel of, I don't know, whatever he is. The angel of the Navy, let's call him.
The angel of the, that sounds like a Bryan Adams song.
What? But yeah, I don't know. I do like that point though.
Yeah.
I do like that point.
So, well, we don't have anyone to induct into the Mustache Hall of Fame, seeing
the Navy the Navy officer, though, did have a mustache, although he can't.
You're not inducting.
I'm not. We haven't done the Mustache Hall of Fame in such a long time. I can't even remember what the last Mustache Hall of Fame even was.
Someone will have to fact check that for us.
We'll bring it back. We're bringing it back whenever it's necessary.
I think that more or less wraps us up. So do you have any final thoughts on this? Like, because I know you had some, I don't know if I'd say you're a fan of this story, per se.
I mean, I don't think I'm a fan of this story, but I respect the story.
That's fair.
I respect the story because it is a story that is told very well. It is a story that is entirely successful in what it's trying to say about the world, about people, about boys, you know, masculinity, about children and immaturity, about crumbling societies and rotting pigs' heads. It's great in saying all that. The ending's... Yeah. And, yeah, I don't know. It's not fun. I like fun things. But no, I entirely respect the story. Which, yeah. So, yeah, I'm okay with you having picked this one. I was not groaning in my sleep, thinking, oh, God, I have to talk about Lord of the Flies. It was nice. It was a nice discussion.
Yeah, and I think I'm more or less in the same camp. It's not something that I would read if I had a choice, but I think it's something that you should at least experience once if you're any fan of storytelling.
Okay. Okay. Are you going to pick a book adaptation for your next one?
I don't know, maybe.
Probably, because when do you not?
I pick this not a book. Oh, fuck, most of mine are book adaptations.
They literally have, apart from the horror ones. Ones that we did, they have literally all, well, they've not all been. There's a lot of book adaptations out there, so you can be forgiven for always picking them.
I like reading, guys.
You do like reading. You do like reading. I think that is going to wrap us up on the discussion of Lord of the Flies, at least, unless, Nolan, you had any one last final statement that isn't shouting. Don't drop boulders on kids was your last statement. I was going to say, kill the pig, spill its blood, bash it in.
Well, do that too.
Because I am a savage person.
Hog roasts are actually quite nice.
Hog roasts are very nice.
I might go to one this Christmas when I'm back
very
in Cyprus.
Very nice, very nice.
Have some mulled wine and a hog roast.
Although you wouldn't want the hog roast being surrounded by flies.
No, that's not great.
That would give the impression that the meat has been spoiled and that it may contaminate your body.
Yes, but just like a nice Christmas night with some mulled wine and a hog roast. It's a pretty good
wine.
Night.
I might have to try some mulled. I've never had mulled wine.
Mulled wine is very nice.
I just don't like the fact that wine is warm.
It's more the spices that help. If you just have warm wine, it's going to taste like warm wine, but it's the spices that help it.
Maybe I ought to try some mulled wine anyway. Nolan, what have you been up to apart from watching Lord of the Flies?
Well, I lost a bet the other day and had to wear my Hogwarts robes in class.
I did see this. This is remarkably silly.
Yeah, I made a bet with one of my friends that if he showed up to class on time, then I'd wear my Hogwarts robes in class. And that's the one time he comes in on time.
That's a very bad bet, right?
He's always late, is the thing.
But you can't, don't make a bet with somebody that is in one of your control. Make a bet about somebody else or something else that is completely out of your personal control. You're never going to win a bet if you're like, bet you won't do this. And then they're just going to do it.
Because his attendance has been kind of poor lately and I don't want to see him get kicked off the course. It was motivation.
Oh, it's a motivational bet. I see. Okay. Still, you had to wear Hogwarts robes, so...
Yep, I wore my Hufflepuff robes around school.
Did people judge you?
No.
No, they didn't.
They just sort of walked past. And were like, oh. Well, oh, Fantastic Beasts is coming out this weekend, so fair enough.
It is.
If I was doing it in summer, I might have got some weird looks.
Are you going to see The Crimes of Grindelwald?
Seeing it tomorrow.
Perhaps the day this comes out, yes.
Yeah, the day this comes out, I will probably be in the IMAX theatre with my wand and my robes.
With your wand?
Yep.
You can't take the wand in.
The robes have a wand-sized pocket in them.
The robes might have a wand-sized... This is getting very strange.
They do have a wand-sized pocket in them.
Okay.
But okay, other than that,
you go and enjoy the crimes of Grindelwald. I saw it months ago.
I know. But other than that, I've been working on a new book.
You have?
Because
maybe the
social
media
bored.
Star a villain book that I don't know that I just know it as.
Because I get bored if I don't write stuff.
Fair enough.
And like, I need to take a break from constantly refreshing my inbox.
You also need to take a break from writing, maybe.
I don't know. I get bored if I do that.
I know, but like, what's 3 weeks gonna do? It's not gonna kill you.
You know what?
What's 3 weeks rest gonna do?
I had that exact same thinking when I went over in summer to Cyprus. I thought,
fair enough.
Right. I'm not gonna write.
And you did.
And then when I got that thing where it's like, oh, you have to rewrite, I was like, fuck.
Yeah. Fair enough. Well.
But I'm very interested to explore this one because I realized that the closest thing that we kind of have to superheroes in the real world is like big YouTube social influencers. Like people look at them kind of like are superheroes. So I kind of want to do a story about that.
If you believe that Instagram influencers are equivalent to Spider-Man, I think we have a different conversation we need to have.
It's I'm not looking at it like, oh, they absolutely are. I'm just exploring that idea.
Yeah.
Because I know a lot of people who they'll have no idea who like an actual hero is. But when they ask them what their role model is, they'll say something like Casey Neistat or...
I mean, that's a fair point.
Some Instagrammer.
I appreciate that little noise that I just made was quite loud. That is a fair point, actually. I didn't think of it like that. See, he's far smarter than me, good listener. Our wonderful people. Nolan is way smarter than I am. So, you know, trust what he says is all I'll say. Anyway, what I have been up to while Nolan has been writing is this week I covered the Manchester Animation Festival for Ready Steady Cut, and you can check out reviews of movies I saw there.
You're willingly watching animated movies?
At Ready Steady. It was film festival coverage. Give me a break.
Who are you and what have you done with Morgan Robinson?
I will admit, why do people have this thing where I don't like animated movies? When have I ever said that?
Never.
I'm fairly convinced I've never said that, and people just tell me I've said it. These were very intriguing animated movies anyway. These were very unique animated movies. So yeah, go on over to readysteadycut.com or just check on my Twitter at the Purple Dom with the 3 instead of the E in the, because 3 is the magic number, for all of those reviews. And also check go on to Instagram as well at the Purple Dom, follow me on there too. The show can be found on Twitter at It's a Wonderful One. Use the hashtag It's a Wonderful One. Let us tweet at us with a nice supportive tweet, or more importantly, go on over to the Apple Podcasts feed of this show and leave a nice positive big review, and we will read it out. And that is what we're gonna do, because we want to grow our wonderful people, which is what I've coined the phrase "our wonderful people" for the the good listeners of the show. So let's create a bit of something, guys. And yeah, go on over to Apple Podcasts, leave a nice review. We will read it out with a huge thanks and add you to our list of our wonderful people. But you can also find the show on Spotify and Stitcher and Podbean and Castbox and wherever else you may find podcasts as well. So go on over and sub to them all and, you know, be nice and download them and be supportive, because it's nice to be nice, Nolan.
I know. And
it's nice to be nice.
You can do all of that, and you can also find me at NolanDean27 on Twitter, at The Life and Times of Nolan Dean on Instagram.
It's the world's worst Instagram name. It makes me feel sick every time I look at it.
You can find me at Nola Deed on YouTube. You can find me on Grindr if you live in Scotland.
Oh, nobody needs to know that. Nobody needs to know that.
Yeah, but and you can also find me doing writing stuff and tweeting about that. And I don't know what we're going to be doing next week.
Neither do I, Nolan. So it's a problem.
But that has been Lord of the Flies. This has been an episode. You guys are the wonderful people.
Nolan, you know where to find us. This hasn't just been any episode, you know. This has been episode 30. This has been episode 30 of this silly show. We've reached another little milestone, if you call the round numbers milestones.
We have 30 more episodes to go before we get a free bus pass.
Okay, fair enough. I don't want a free bus pass. I would like a free bus pass, actually. Anyway, that will wrap us up for episode 30. It's insane. Here's to the next 30 and the next 30 after that. Guys, thank you very much for listening, as always. And Nolan, see us out.
You know who wouldn't have dropped a boulder on Piggy's head? Shrek.
No, he would not. Shrek loves boulders. I like that boulder. That is a nice boulder. Bye, guys.